This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a long-term colleague and great professional and leader, Brian Clough. Brian spends a ton of his time in the post-acute area, but also more and more at the intersection of post-acute and acute. So delighted to have Brian on today. Brian, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Excited to be on the call today with you and, great opportunity to talk about stuff I'm doing and how it interacts and it kind of comes together with sort of the acute care world and kind of care coordination. So I'm a serial entrepreneur in the post-acute senior living space. I've been doing this for about 35 years, a little bit longer than probably a lot of people around, but currently I'm involved in a lot of different businesses that includes senior living, post-acute care. We're developing three new transitional care short-term rehab facilities, which I kind of call specialty inpatient facilities, which is exciting. We could talk about that more as we go deeper. Involved in an assisted living company and involved in a variety of things that all involve senior living and post-acute care. Throughout my 35 years, I've really been really involved in every aspect from skilled nursing or transitional care, short-term care, all the way down to independent senior living apartments, and including some home care, hospice care, and a variety of different things. Yeah.
Let me tag you on one of those things to start with. You mentioned the term specialty inpatient facility. What does that mean, and how does that relate to hospitals and health systems?
Yeah, great question. So I believe that there's been a major transformation in the skilled nursing home business or industry. And, nursing homes would be divided into what I call long-term custodial facilities, where people go and live a year or two or three, and they get custodial care in a skilled nursing environment. But what's happened over the years is that, guys like me around the country or other people around the country have created facilities that really specialize in short-term rehab. So, specifically people coming directly out of a hospital who need someplace to go prior to going home or to a lower level of care. And that, in the old days, the industry was combined. You'd go to a nursing home, let's say a 100-bed nursing home had 20 or 30 beds set aside for short-term rehab. The other 60 to 70 were custodial long-term care patients. And guys like me have separated those two, and now we're building facilities specifically only for short-term rehab or facilities that are just committed to custodial long-term population. But to mix those two things is no longer happening.
Another couple questions. You've been in the business for 35 years. One of the few people I know that looks younger and is still in better shape than he was 35 years ago, much to my own chagrin. You look healthier and younger. But tell me, how did you end up in the subacute area or the post-acute area to begin with? How did you end up in that area? And then what are some of the big trends in it today?
I just fell into it just through some personal relationships and friendships that, I had no desire to be in this business, but, it just happened that I did. I needed to find a job and make a living and ended up getting an opportunity to work in an administration level of a nursing home. And I did that and, it matched my skill set of just kind of people skills and, managing people and helping people. And so I ended up, while it was supposed to be something temporary, just never left. And then just, saw lots of opportunities to innovate and to do different things. As far as what's happening today, I think it's really fascinating how post-acute and senior living are playing a bigger part of the overall healthcare, system. You look at it from what I described before about these inpatient specialty facilities that could, help, manage cost of care. I think when you look at healthcare, I think, everything you read in your reports and your newsletter, it's really all a shift in focus from managing sites and episodes of care to managing total cost of care. So I think people are starting to recognize that senior living and as a big part of that, a lot of these payers are have to recognize that managing the healthcare costs for people that live in senior living is something that needs to be done better. And then on going to the other extreme of the skilled care, using skilled care, I really believe that a skilled care license is the least expensive inpatient license category available. And in so many situations could be used to reduce costs and increase quality. you know, 20 to 30% of the people that are in med-surg units and hospitals could do just as well, if not better, in a skilled environment. Same thing with an acute rehab or an LTAC. There's just such an important role to provide inpatient care at a lower cost that I think skilled nursing is that license category.
Thank you very, very much. And then a couple of other questions. With sort of the aging of America's population, more people on Medicare, more people dual eligible and so forth, is there going to be an accelerated amount of attention paid to post-acute care? It seems like with the aging population, more and more people, 50s, 60s on, knees being replaced, hips being replaced, and needing post-acute solutions. So this is becoming a much larger part of the American healthcare landscape?
Yeah, absolutely has to be, because I think, you know, there's a major gap. You know, if people, you know, the cost of healthcare services to people who live in custodial facilities has never been something anybody's thought about. And so with the aging population, the aging demographics, more and more people needing kind of long-term or custodial care, the focus is not just on the housing and the services, but also on the healthcare services provided in those environments. And I think a lot of these payers and insurers with, you know, increase in Medicare Advantage, and all of a sudden you look at, you know, how many people across the country are living in custodial environments or even living at home with home health or with home care services, who's really paying attention to the cost of the healthcare side? Who's paying attention to, you know, chronic care management? You know, how do you get at that? And it's starting to move the needle on payers that take risk on that population are starting to realize, oh, how do we control those costs? So I think with the aging of America, you know, understanding and how to manage the healthcare costs for that population has got to be on everybody's radar.
And what's fascinating about it, when you talk about skilled long-term nursing facilities, you talk about especially inpatient facilities, and all these different ways that post-acute care is provided or long-term or short-term care is provided, at one time, the long-term care ones were almost thought of as a real estate investment with some healthcare added onto it. Now they're truly healthcare. It's truly healthcare with real estate being part of it, but it's much more focused on healthcare. Even the hugest sort of long-term care or post-acute providers, it really got rid of their real estate. They lease it, and they're really focused on the healthcare part of it. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's very fair. And I think it depends upon the sectors too, Scott. I mean, you look at, like, you know, if you look at assisted living or independent living, you know, the Del Webbs of the world where, you know, 55, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds are going to live for, you know, country club lifestyles. And then you look at, you know, true freestanding assisted living where people who need services are going to live. And then you go all the way up the continuum. So I think, yeah, there's the real estate. You know, when I first started buying nursing homes years ago in, you know, the 80s and 90s, you know, embarrassingly so, we never even did due diligence on the real estate at all. The real estate was a necessary evil to get to the services, you know, and so that's why nobody really looked at it. So, you know, you look at the REITs and all these other, you know, places, and, you know, that's one of the challenges the industry has had is you look at, you know, the value creation really ended up being realized in the real estate value. But what created the value were the services. So it's an interesting dichotomy, right, to look at.
Fascinating. And another question, and part of it's this whole demographic shift. All of a sudden, you have big health systems that for years were divesting their long-term acute care operations, their LTAC operations, were getting rid of nursing home businesses, their skilled nursing facilities. All of a sudden, you have some big systems like ProMedica reinvesting in post-acute care and in long-term care. Why is that? And can you give us a little insight on that?
Yeah, that was a huge deal. I mean, I certainly noticed that big time. It was a game changer of the industry. And you know, I still struggle with what ProMedica saw in that. Because if you look at what's happened throughout the years, and I've been here long enough to see some of these, you know, cycles, and, you know, originally hospital systems used to want senior living because it was a way to get increased bed days. So they would have senior living on their campus, and they would, you know, find a way, you know, having, you know, a lot of bed days were created with, you know, Medicare patients who lived on their campus and senior living. And then when it became less advantageous and, you know, focus on length of stay and DRG, it became less advantageous to have senior living around. So they got out of it. And then, you know, now it's sort of swinging back again. when you look at it from a custodial perspective. And really with the same thing with, you know, years ago, you know, hospitals all had skilled nursing units inside the hospital, like they have hospice units today. And they did that to, you know, help manage, you know, it was cost-based reimbursement in the old days. So the hospitals, you know, ran those skilled nursing units no differently than they ran the hospital units. And when the reimbursement switched in 2000 to more of a, it's called PPS, or, you know, it's PPS is the DRG system, the hospitals, then all of a sudden the hospitals had to contain their costs, and owning a skilled nursing facility inside the hospital where it did matter how much it cost became less advantageous. So it changed. So when you look at the ProMedica deal, I mean, you know, I was confused by, okay, what do they see? Do they see a way to help manage the total cost of care for the population they're at risk for? So what, you know, I think you're seeing more systems get into that, especially systems that like a Kaiser or somebody that Kaiser, you know, systems that really recognize that it's no longer about episodes or sites of care, it's managing total cost of care. So, you know, one of the ways to do that is to control every part of what, where your members are, so you can control the cost. So I'm guessing that's what ProMedica's strategy is.
Oh, fantastic. And just such a fascinating shift in what's going on again as systems got out of it and now seem to be started looking at it again. And part of the ProMedica view, which is a $10 billion system, a magnificent system, really well run, was it seemed to be a big part of the long-term situation in healthcare in America, and we want to have a big stake in it. And it's a fascinating perspective. Brian, you've been an entrepreneur, you're a leader, you're as high integrity and good a person as I know, just a really good person. I know from personal experience and professional experience, watching you over the years, how can people learn more about what you do? How do they get in contact with you if they are interested in consulting with you or doing business with you? How do people reach Brian Clough?
Yeah, you know, through Scott Becker, as always, you know, that's always a good way to reach me. But, you know, I'm pretty out there, right? You know, my email and my phone number, you know, happy to provide my cell phone number, which is what people really get through to me on. And, you know, the world has changed through, you know, how people get in touch with each other. But, you know, probably, you know, I don't know if you share this stuff on these podcasts or how you want me to do that, but I don't have a website or anything people can go to. So. But happy to share my email or cell phone.
Well, fantastic. People could also reach Brian through myself, Scott Becker. We'll get you in touch with Brian. Brian's a real smart guy. He's done tremendous work in the post-acute care world. He has stayed involved in it across several different cycles and is in the know on every single thing to know about it and connects with everybody in the business. Brian, just a great pleasure visiting with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the opportunity.